Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome back to another audio exclusive podcast. My name is Katie, and as ever, I'm joined by Tommy. And today we're going to have a little chinwag about some F1 news that's been happening over the last few days. But before we get into that, Tommy, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, Spanish Grand Prix coming up. Little bit of a break, but yeah, I'm good. Although we did have quite a bit of stuff like IndyCar and Formula E and all sorts. So not without motorsport.
It was a very busy weekend for motorsport, and I was able to enjoy as much of it as I could, which was a lovely treat. So as you said, it's the Spanish Grand Prix this weekend, which maybe we can talk a little bit about towards the end of the podcast. But let's first start about another piece of motorsport action that was going on this weekend, and that was the Monaco Historic, which is an annual. I think it used to be every 2 years. It used to alternate with Formula E, I know that much. But now I think it's every year. And it's basically a load of classic cars going around Monaco. Sounds like my idea of heaven. And one guy who wanted to get involved in it all was Charles Leclerc. He obviously is from Monaco, so it's just on his doorstep. And he got the opportunity to drive one of Niki Lauda's ex-F1 cars, the Ferrari 312 or 312, however you wish to pronounce it. And oh my goodness, Tommy, he had an absolute nightmare. He's going to be having, like, waking up in a hot, like, cold sweat in the middle of the night thinking about this, reliving this moment, because he crashed it.
The memes. It just had to happen, didn't it? I mean,
I feel so bad. But
tell everyone, go on, tell everyone your story.
What did you do?
Tell all the listeners.
Okay, listeners, just like to apologize in advance. I will be taking Charles Leclerc's name out my mouth because this is now the second time within like a few weekends that I've jinxed him really bad. I had the Monaco Historic on all day in the background waiting for Charles's run. And I said, oh my goodness, if he bins this Ferrari, we are set for life on WTF1. Like, the views are going to be insane. And then his brakes failed and he went into the wall. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, it was a proper Michael Scott, like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening. Yeah. Everybody,
get the article.
Stay calm.
Yeah. You just message me. I'll try and find what you messaged me if it's appropriate to
you might have to
share.
Bleep some of it
out.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it might not even be. I think it was just like in massive capital letters. Because we were watching it. I kind of had it on the background, was about to go out. And yeah, just typical that he did it. When he went into that corner as well, I was like, he was going very quick. I thought, because we didn't know about the brakes at first, and I was like, why has he got into Raskas like quicker than this 2022 F1 car would? He just absolutely like gone in. You just messaged me S word in capital letters, Leclerc effing binned it. It was quite the thing. You just couldn't write it for the memes. You know, the fact that Leclerc has this, whether you call it a curse or I guess incompetence isn't fair, because one of them was his, well, two of them are his fault at Monaco, right? 2021 was his fault. 2020 was his fault as well, although he was coming through the field after a bad thing. And then the other times... he crashed in 2018, 19, 18, 2018 when he was racing for Sauber. His brakes failed then as well. So he's had a bit of a history of brakes failed, and he's never finished an F2 race there. So he has never finished a race at Monaco, and now he's not even finished a blooming demo lap around Monaco. Like, what? What on earth?
What has he done a previous life to be cursed like this? And it's going to be one of those things where, you know, everybody jokes about the curse. Even Charles himself was joking about the curse. But that's got to be lodged somewhere in your brain. Like, when he goes to Monaco in a few weeks' time for the F1, you just know all the journalists, one, are going to bring up this. Two, bring up the fact, you have never scored here, Charles. Don't forget it. And, like, that's going to be lodged in his brain somewhere. I know that, you know, these drivers have got, like, trainers and they can train their brain, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, look after them and their psychology and stuff. But it will be there. I guarantee it will be there, niggling away in the back of his mind. Even if he's, you know, leading in the race on, like, a few weeks' time, he'll be thinking, is that going to happen?
Don't bin it.
Oh, gosh. But, yeah, what an absolute nightmare. And somebody actually pointed out, because we did an article on it last year, that he's not the first driver to have had an issue with this Ferrari at the Monaco Historic, because Jean Alesi also crashed the same car this time last year. So clearly whoever gets the keys to the wagon is just in for a bad time, because it's just not got a good track record around here. So
I saw a funny comment on, I think it was on our Facebook, and I think it was someone alluding to the fact that other drivers, Max being one of them, think...
comment?
No. Sebastian Vettel was another one when he was back in the day, of, like, people crashing a lot get, like, crash nicknames, and Leclerc doesn't have one. And then someone replied saying, Le Crash. And then someone then replied saying, that's funny because it's an anagram of Charles. So that was quite amusing. But yeah, back to that car. I do love Monaco Historic. If you've not seen it before, it is always sad when you know, you've been not priceless, but a very expensive and classic Ferrari. But however, it's really cool that they race them. And if you've ever watched it, you know, you've got cars from, like, the 1950s that won Formula One races, and they're literally, like, wheel banging into corners, and they don't care if they write off these cars. Which I think is great, because why have them just sat in a museum? Get them racing like that they were meant to do. And it's really cool, because I think, I could be wrong, I will look at this when you start talking, I'm pretty sure Adrian Newey, either him or someone, was driving his car but binned a Lotus, like a Jim Clark classic Lotus, and absolutely annihilated it in the Monaco Historic. But at the end of the day, it's cool. Like, that's what these cars should be doing. And because they're old as well, it really emphasizes how the new cars are not suited for Monaco, because they have some great racing there, these old cars, because they're so small, and that it makes Monaco look like a new tilt-drome with, like, really wide, wide track and stuff.
No, well, while you look that up, it's got a lot of attention. I saw Max Verstappen on a balcony watching it. So he was clearly interested. And then Tommy broke the internet by creating a meme of which it was Max Verstappen looking out and watching Charles in the wall. So that did really well online. But yeah, poor Charles.
Yeah, because Max was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Charles tweeted afterwards. What did he say? Let me find the tweet. Also, I'm well aware, and people have commented on this and I don't mind, but I alternate so much between calling Charles, Charles or Charles or whatever it might be. At least I don't call him Chuck, eh? Like, but, oh no, I've put Chuck in because I'm not concentrating onto my search. So he wrote, when you thought you already had all the bad luck of the world in Monaco and you lose the brakes into Raskas with one of the most iconic historical Ferrari Formula One cars, and then an upside down smiley and, like, a gun emoji. So poor thing. And it's on 155,000 likes. So absolute nightmare for Charles Leclerc. Have you found what you're looking for?
Yeah, I have. And what's really funny as well is that, so this is an article on WTF1 from 2014.
Wow.
Proper throwback. And it says that, Jim Clark's 1967 Lotus 49 got smashed up. But what's really funny is another car that crashed on that weekend, because it's mentioned in this article that I wrote, was the Ferrari 312B. So that car has crashed at Monaco almost every year.
That's got to be some sort of social graphic.
It's that Ferrari 312 has clearly been through a lot because
it
got written off in 2014. Alesi obviously crashed it last year. Leclerc crashed it this year. So, I wonder how many times that's crashed before.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I wonder it's falling apart when Paul Leclerc's going around the track. Right. So that was the Monaco Historic. Really one of the things on my motorsport bucket list. I'd love to go there one
year. Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, deal. Next bit of news, which is something that got announced this morning, which is very exciting if you are Nyck de Vries. He is getting a chance at an FP1 running with Williams this weekend. So Nyck de Vries, it might be a name that you've maybe heard of before, or if you've watched F2 or Formula E, you'll be very familiar with him. But he's a Dutch driver. He is the reigning Formula E champ. He also won the F2 championship in 2019. He's also the current reserve driver for Mercedes. But yeah, he's been doing some F1 running for Merck before, most recently at the postseason Abu Dhabi test last year. But I'm really excited to see Nyck de Vries get a chance at an F1 weekend. This will be his debut over an F1 weekend. What are your thoughts on young Nyck de Vries?
I think this is a little bit sus. Sussy boy. the fact that he is a Mercedes, I mean, Williams, no offense to them all, but have about 40 reserve drivers, it seems. Yeah. Or just like, there's loads of people that are like, obviously they've got Jack, they've got Nassani, they've got Jamie Chadwick, they've got Logan Sargeant. They had Dan Ticktum before. All these drivers on the books, and they're letting Nyck de Vries drive in FP1. Could that be because they're wanting to test what he's like as a potential replacement? Because there has been a lot of strong rumors that Nicholas Latifi, they're starting to get a little bit
fed up
with him, maybe. I could say fed up with him. And let's be honest as well, like, Williams aren't in that position that they once were, where money was like incredibly tight and they have to go for a pay driver. And, you know, maybe they've seen Alex Albon's performances and goes, you know what, we're better off just actually being good and getting points rather than, you know, having money. I know that's pretty savage.
Crazy concept.
But that is F1. I think that maybe this is a little practice run. I am being Formula One Twitter, and I am overanalyzing this massively. I'm going to jump the gun and say that this is literally a little test run for him, whether that's next year or later, because there was rumors, wasn't there, about him actually doing it anyway.
Yeah, because I asked him when I went to the Formula E in London last year. It was around the time that the Williams rumors were swirling. So I said to him, I was like, what's the situation? He was like, I don't know where you guys get these rumors from, because like, I haven't been spoken to at all about it. It's just,
you didn't call him
out of nowhere. What did I call him?
You didn't call him Hun.
No.
Because every time you
that
say
so bad. I didn't even realize I said it.
No, you didn't. I was disappointed, because normally when you're like, I'm going to go to Toto Wolff and say, listen here, Hun. So I'm disappointed to hear that when you actually interview drivers, you don't call them Hun. I'm disappointed.
I say, hi, baby cakes. So talk to me about that session. I don't. I mean, that would keep it interesting, I guess. But no, I don't give any pet names to the drivers. Only behind their backs. No. I asked Nick, and he basically said, I have no idea where it's coming from. So I was like, okay, you keep your cards to your chest, mate. If this is part of the new rule that was introduced in 2022, a rule that I am so here for, which is that now teams have to give, I think it's two drivers, a shot through FP1 throughout the year. So for each side of the garage. So at some point, Lewis Hamilton will miss out on FP1 because there'll be somebody in his car and vice versa. But yeah, I think this is really interesting, Tommy, because as we said earlier, Nyck de Vries and Stoffel, his teammate in Formula E, are both on the Mercedes kind of list of potential people. Why would they not put him in a Mercedes? Why are they putting him in a Williams?
Maybe they could anyway. Yeah. They could still do that, right? Put him in the Mercedes as well, which they might do. But yeah, it's interesting that I think there is more to this than just it's a test. Yeah. But I'd be pleased for him. I think he deserves a shot. I know a lot of people jump on the narrative that he won the Formula 2 championship when maybe it wasn't as competitive as it could have been.
Russell, Norris, Charles, like they'd all left by then, haven't they?
Yeah. However, and he was in that season, he was fourth behind all those drivers and only 17 points off Lando in second. So he wasn't doing badly.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It'd be interesting to see. And however much I think Nicholas Latifi seems like the loveliest guy in the world, he's had a poor season, and if Williams don't need the money, then they are right to pursue looking into a driver that's gonna, you know, get the points, because that's exactly what Albon's done this year and gone, I know this car's absolutely awful, but would you like some points? I'll dye my hair red. Here you go.
Way. Yeah, I'll be sad, because although we, you know, have a bit of fun with Nicholas Latifi and when we do our post-race podcast and stuff, like you say, he does genuinely seem like the sweetest soul. And he's taken so long, I feel, to come out of his shell and sort of reveal his personality. I think, as I've said before, it all leads back to the video he put on his Instagram where he showed us his Nutella obsession. Honestly, that was all it took for people to be like, oh my God, this guy's actually really sweet. Because whereas before, the only thing I knew about Nicholas Latifi is that he was Canadian and he had a rich dad. Yeah. But now I know he's Canadian, he has a rich dad, and he loves Nutella. So
he comes across really well in those grid videos that F1 do as well.
Yeah.
He always like comes across really well in them, I personally
found. Sweetheart. Well, we'll have to wait and see. I know. I just love Nicholas TV. But yeah, we'll have to see how this all works out after FP1 and hear what Nick's got to say. And talking of Formula E, the segue of all segues.
You do regularly.
Yes, I do all the time. McLaren, that little unknown team, are going to be joining Formula E from next year. From this year, I guess, because it's the start of the season at the end of this year. So next that's season. Very exciting. They will be taking over the Mercedes team, which is who Nyck de Vries actually races for at the moment. And yeah, this is something that's been rumoured for quite a long time. And then McLaren went to Extreme E. So a lot of people thought maybe they're not going to pursue the Formula E adventure, but they are, which is super, super cool. And I'm obviously a little bit biased as somebody who likes Formula E myself, but this is great news to have another manufacturer joining the championship, because quite a lot are leaving at the moment, including Mercedes, which, like I said, is who they're taking over from. So, yeah. What do you think to that? You watch some Formula E, don't you, Tommy?
I do where I can. I missed it this weekend because I was watching something else.
Football?
What clashed with Formula E? I can't remember.
There was definitely football on.
Yeah, and my wedding anniversary.
Oh, yeah, that's quite important.
Quite important. Slide. I didn't watch it this weekend, but no, I do try and watch it as much as I can. And McLaren are just taking over motorsport at the moment, aren't they? Doing everything. Next up, NASCAR.
Fingers and a lot of pies.
Yeah, NASCAR, maybe Le Mans. I am I'd rather them do Le Mans, as someone that maybe loves Le Mans a little bit more than Formula E. But no, McLaren joining Formula E is only a good thing. And like you say, if they're, a lot of these manufacturers are leaving, it's probably a good idea that they get a big name in. It's good for the sport, especially with those very bizarre cars that they're racing. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think to them? Because I've looked at it and from some angles, it looks quite cool, but it's the kind of top, not quite top down, but looking straight at it where it looks like a cheese wedge.
Yeah, I've heard lots of things. I've heard paper airplanes. It looks like something from Robot Wars, which, I mean, I'm game for that because I freaking love Robot Wars.
Flippers, introduce flippers and weapons to the cars.
Oh my God, imagine. No more attack mode. You just get to click a button and it flips you.
No, attack mode is attack mode. Like they get to attack each other.
Yeah. And then there's just a pit in the middle of the circuit that you can push people into. No, we're getting too excited about Robot Wars here. Literally, you know where we are. I think it will take some getting used to. The aesthetics of the car aren't my favorite. I'm gonna miss the Gen 2 look so much because that really was like Batmobile. It was so different to anything I'd ever seen from a single seater championship, and yeah, they were great. But in terms of the actual technology underneath the car, I know it's a bit boring and it's a bit nerdy, but it is going to be much faster. It's going to be lighter. It's got some really interesting like powertrain technology, which is going to be great if that can be sort of followed through into road cars and helping with that kind of side of thing. But yeah, the aesthetics of it, I wasn't taken aback by it massively. Also, the fact that we've now lost, well, we're going to lose the wheel covers. I'm already thinking this is going to be drama because these guys and girls in Formula E, they love a bit of bumper cars, you know, rubbing up against each other. And it's been fine because we've had wheel covers for, you know, the Gen 2 car, but now they're gone. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's going to be absolute mayhem. There's going to be cars flying everywhere. So we'll wait and see. But I'm sure that these drivers are more than capable of behaving themselves. I'm not going to treat them like they're little toddlers or anything like that. But yeah, I think with McLaren as well, they haven't announced a driver lineup yet. Plenty of possibilities. Somebody, Ricardo. I think they'd be daft. Who?
Daniel Ricciardo.
No, Daniel Ricciardo. Do you know what? There were so many comments I saw of people being like, oh, that's nice that they've got something ready for Daniel when he loses his sport at the end of the year. And I was like, no, as much as I'd love to see Danny Rick in Formula E, because then that would be nice. But I don't think they'll move into Formula E. That would be like the initial demotions. But they've got some real good talent that is either still in Formula E. Oliver Turvey is a current development and test driver for McLaren. He's been in Formula E since pretty much day dot. He's with Neo at the moment, which is one of the back teams. He's had some good results, but he really needs to have the opportunity to be in a fast car. And I have no doubt that he'll be able to deliver some good stuff. So
he needs opportunity to get fan base, because isn't he one of the guys that just never gets?
Yeah, I don't think he doesn't really care. He's really, like, active on social media compared to somebody like Da Costa or Van Dorn that's like all the time, give me fan boost on every Instagram story.
I think it's sad when it goes through the list and it's like, Van Dorn got 40% of the vote, like Eurovision. Like Da Costa got that. And then you get to like Turvey and it's like zero. And you're like, oh, his mum didn't even vote for him.
Maybe. But yeah, I don't think he cares too much about that. So I think he could be a really good shout because he's got so much experience. And then somebody that keeps being rumoured, and although it would mean yanking him from IndyCar.
No.
And maybe Felix Rosenquist.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Pato Award.
Oh, he no. In,
yeah, don't let him go.
Felix used to be in Formula E. He was with Mahindra and he was a little pocket rocket because he was so fast. And also, he's just a generally lovely guy and got on really well in the Formula E paddock. So it's whether he would want to come back to Formula E or whether he's quite happy with IndyCar. I would be waiting to see. But yeah, there's plenty of opportunities for McLaren for some good drivers. And also the driver market in Formula E at the moment is completely up in the air. So it's very exciting. I look forward to seeing who they pick. They might just pick somebody completely new. You never know.
Why not?
Why not? Do a bit like they did with their Extreme E and pick two people that you were like, who are they? I've never heard of them before, apart from Is it Tanner?
Tanner Faust.
Yeah, he's from Top Gear or something. I don't know.
Yeah, everyone knew him from, was it US Top Gear or Australian Top Gear? I can't remember. But yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they go completely off the wall with it and just hire someone unexpected.
Is that Brown in the car to race for them? That would be interesting. So yeah, that's the McLaren joining Formula E news roundup. And finally, let's finish on a lovely note, which was Sebastian Vettel. Oh, so not funny. Why am I laughing? Sebastian Vettel on BBC's Question Time. I don't know if this is going to sound really like patronizing, but for maybe some listeners that aren't from the UK, I don't know if you'll have Question Time where you are, but it's basically a political TV show that's on every week where a load of politicians just argue with each other for an hour and then it finishes. And normally I stay well clear of that because it's just like, and then somebody else says, and it's just like, oh my God, it's like banging your head against the wall. But Sebastian Vettel was on it. So we were like, I'm going to tune in. And my whole timeline was people watching Question Time, either for the first time or they haven't watched it in years. So hopefully there's a spike in the audience numbers. But yeah, Seb was on there talking mainly about the environmental side of things rather than getting like his hands dirty talking about UK politics, which I don't
even know. He had a little dig at Brexit, wasn't it? Where he said like, you've voted for this, so deal with it.
Mic drop moment.
No, he was good on it, wasn't he?
He was brilliant. And I think Formula One are lucky to have such a good spokesperson about it. The part of him being like, so are you a hypocrite then if you're going on about all these, you know, renewable energy sources and yet you drive a gas guzzling F1 car and all this kind of stuff? And he did say, yeah, I am a hypocrite, but at least I'm a hypocrite that's using my platform to talk about good, which is true. But yeah, he did a brilliant job, didn't he, Seb?
He handled that really well, actually, that question, because that is the elephant in the room, isn't it? Where a lot of people that don't watch Formula One or don't really know anything about Sebastian Vettel are probably like, why is this like guy who drives cars around the world so like passionate about the environment and stuff? Because it could seem, does seem hypocritical. So the fact that he answered that question, and he was just generally like really good, and it's a brave call. You know, we've had drivers and they don't want to get their hands dirty or like put their foot in it with anything. And you know, you have these PR people surrounding them all the time to make sure they don't say the wrong thing or that. And then they've just really thrown him in at the deep end. Obviously he wanted to do it, which is great. But very brave from him to be thrown into the deep end and get all these questions and get involved. And I think he was brilliant. And he will be very much missed the day he retires. I hope he gets involved some way still with Formula One, because they need personalities like him in F1.
They really do. I hope he can somehow stick with the GPDA in that role, and then maybe there's more of a branch between a representative for the drivers and the FIA, because that's certainly, I'm going off here on a tangent, but that's one thing that I've noticed, especially after Miami, is I have never seen so many drivers be critical of the FIA and the way they've handled things over the Miami Grand Prix weekend, whether that's fitting the tech pro barriers, like Lando Norris was saying, you know, we drive these cars, there's going to be some things that we inevitably know more about and are more aware of than people sat in their offices. So they need to listen to us more. And then same thing with like the track surfaces. George Russell was saying that they wanted a change to the pit entry, that didn't happen, all this kind of stuff. So if Seb could stick around and sort of be a middleman for like the whole thing, then I feel like that would be a good role for him to sort of be comfortable with. And then he can do a bit of chat with Sky Sports and like a Nico Rosberg role, or I don't know, help him with other bits and bobs, maybe doing some litter picking in the between sessions. All singing or dancing legend, really. But yeah, basically, he can't leave. Otherwise, I'll be really upset and I'll go on strike.
And you can't upset the author. That's just not right.
Oh, dear. When do you think the day will be that I'm not tired of the author jokes? No, it's all good. Right, well, that was a nice little newsy roundup, even though I say so myself. Tommy, have you got anything else that you want to mention that happened over the weekend that you want to talk about? Just get off your chest. You know, we're all friends here.
Nope.
Okay, well, on that note, thanks everyone for listening. And we will return for many a podcast this week. We've also, I don't know if we're allowed to say, Tommy.
Do it.
We've got some really exciting ideas in the pipeline. Yeah. So if you're a fan of the WTF1 podcast, then make sure you're following us on all our socials or checking the website, because, guys, you are not ready for the podcast we are about to drop on you. They are going to be amazing. So hopefully I haven't overhyped it too much there, but lots of really exciting things on the way. And as ever, whatever platform you're listening to, drop us a like, give us 5 stars, leave us a wonderful comment. If you are a legend, which you all are, if you're listening to this and you got this far through the podcast, well done you. And we'll see you for another episode, maybe a Spanish Grand Prix preview. Tell me what you're saying.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll see you very soon. Bye.
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 Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.